1 Corinthians chapter 14. I need you to understand and know that God loves you. Let me say that first of all. You have to absolutely be assured and know that God loves you. You have to also know that Jesus is everything to us. And that God has done so many great things through Jesus. And isn't it an amazing and a privilege that God wants to use us to introduce Jesus to others? Come on. And not just with our words, but our lifestyle and everything. But it's not our efforts that can get the job done. It's Him working through us that will get the job done. So I'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 when I quit talking here. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, the Apostle Paul is kind of dealing with some things that are going on in the church. But he's also trying to encourage them to be the church. Right? But I want to go to specific verses and we'll read some others. But if you'll look with me at verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 24. He says, "But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or uninformed person comes in, he's convinced by all and is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of the heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God truly is among you." Now I love this, and in the first verses, we'll go there in just a minute. But he says, "I wish that you'd all prophesy." I wish you'd all prophesy. Are you a part of all? I'm a part of all. Now, what does prophecy mean? Prophecy doesn't mean you're going to stand up and tell what's going to happen next week, although it could be part of that. But really what prophecy means in its simplest form is an inspired speech or inspired utterance. So let me just break that down a little bit. That means God will talk to you, and then God can talk through you. Now watch, this is really critical and important. You have to believe that the Holy Spirit inside of you wants to use you to affect somebody else's heart. And He's going to do that, again, by your lifestyle, by leading you in what you should be doing. But He's also going to do that if you'll believe that He'll speak through you. David said it this way. He said, "Lord, I'm going to open my mouth, you fill it." Right? I'm going to open my mouth, you fill it. Sometimes when we're thinking about the gifts of the Spirit and you know, the manifestations of how God shows up, and we think of tongues, interpretation, tongues, miracles, healing, all of that, and all of that is great. But I want you to understand that you have the potential to touch somebody else's heart and speak to them as if God was speaking to them. Let's read this again. I want to just point out something, a few things as we go through here. It says, "But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all and convicted by all." In other words, there's a heart issue that's happening. Why? Because you're speaking to them through God. Now, this is interesting. He said, "But if an unbeliever comes in," that's somebody that has never really known God or been introduced to God. But if they come in and everybody is prophesying to them. And again, it's not like this. We don't have to go up to every person that's new and go, "Thus saith the Lord." You know, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." You know, that's not it. It's like, "Lord, just put something on my heart that I can say to them that will bless them. Something that will bless them. Use me. I've been blessed by you. Use me to be a blessing." But we have to all have an expectation that we're not coming to gather together or even go to work or to do whatever we're doing, wherever we're doing it, we're not just doing that for to come to hear pastors speak or come to hear an evangelist speak or come. We're coming because, God, we're available for you to use to touch somebody else. Right? And sometimes it's really simple. And yet we want it to be profound. And somebody said it this way. Said, oftentimes we're looking for the spectacular and we miss the supernatural. Right? We're looking for the spectacular. We want to see somebody get out of a wheelchair. And I've seen that happen before. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen deaf ears open. I've seen incurable diseases get touched. But I've also seen where God has used me supernaturally to speak into somebody else's heart. You don't know what's in somebody else's heart. In fact, I'm convinced that I don't even know what's in my own heart. But God does. But watch this, and let's read through this again and just think about what would happen if the next time I ran into somebody, whether it's in the building or out there or, you know, wherever, or God put somebody on my heart and I called them and something like this happened. It says, but if all prophesy, an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he's convinced by all and convicted by all. And thus the secrets of the heart are revealed. See, God wants to use us to touch people's heart at a level that may not be open. Do you remember going to high school where everybody had it all together? Right? Everybody else besides you and, you know, whoever's looking is like, man, I wish they were like they seem to have it all together. They didn't. They didn't. They were as messed up as you were. They were just faking it. Right? They're just faking it. And a lot of times, that's how we go through life, just faking it. But God wants to get to the heart of the matter. Why? Because at the heart of the matter is where true healing comes. At the heart of the issue is where true healing comes. In other words, we can get somebody, you know, give them a word of encouragement, but until we get to the place in the heart where they're really broken, then healing can't happen. But God wants to use you to cut through everything else and get to the heart of the matter. What if we had a church that was seeking after God for each other and come to church with an expectation that, God, when I get there, you're going to give me inspired speech so that I can touch somebody else? You know, sometimes it shows up in the weirdest way. I believe and I trust that when I preach, it's inspired speech. That I'm not just giving a talk. But the anointing or God touching what I'm saying has the ability to touch somebody else. Right? I can't tell you. I've had this happen many times. And if it's happened once, it's happened at least 50 times throughout the years where somebody comes up to me and they say, you know, I brought my husband last week, and he's mad. He's mad at me. I said, well, why is he mad at you? Because he said that I called you and told you everything that was going on with him, because when you preached, you were preaching right to him, and he's convinced. And obviously, she didn't call me. But because I was prophesying or inspired speech was coming out of me because of the anointing, it touched his heart. But when it touched his heart, it got to the core of the matter. Right? And it's the place where God wanted to show up and intervene in his life. Right? But we have that potential. You have that potential. I have that potential. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But go to verse 1. I want you to see this. We are supposed to, I said, we are supposed to prophesy. We are supposed to be used by God to prophesy. And we're going to see different instances. But look at this, verse 1. pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Desire spiritual gifts. Man, I want to have all the gifts of the Spirit operating. I want to have working of miracles operating. I want to have discerning of spirits operating. I want to have gifts of faith operating. I want to have supernatural wisdom, supernatural knowledge. But he said, most especially, the number one thing that I want for you to desire to have is prophecy. Again, prophecy is simply inspired speech. In other words, God giving you something to your brain that you can say out of your mouth. And oftentimes, watch this, it doesn't come like this. And this is what we're looking for. Oh, God, I'm praying. Use me. Oh, God, I want to feel it. Oh, there it is. Now I can do it. Usually, it's simply trusting that God's going to use you. And then something will come to your mind and you say it. I've told this story many times, but there was a time when Barb came to visit me and she said to me, she said, you know, I'm convinced that God blesses other people, but He doesn't bless me. In other words, what she's saying is something's wrong with me. God doesn't like me. God likes everybody else, but doesn't like me. And so I'm sitting there listening to her and have my pastor face on and across the desk from her, and I'm going, And so, Lord, if you don't tell me what to say right now, I have no idea how to help her. And then this thought came to me. It changed her life and it changed my life. I said, well, Barb, I said, you know God loves you, right? And only the way Barb could say, well, yes. Right. Well, yes, of course. And I said, well, if God loves you, why don't you ask Him to love you? And she thought I, you know, fell out of a well or something. She went, how do you do that? Right. And I said, well, here's how you do that. And again, I didn't practice this. I didn't have a book that I could go back to and say, this is how you do it. But the Spirit of God was downloading this on the inside of me. I said, you just get quiet before Him and shut your mind down a little bit and get alone with Him and just say, Jesus, love me. And I said, listen, it's like this. It says, I know my wife Renita loves me. But there's times where I need just to hug her, to hold her, to have her be with me so that I know that that love is surrounding me. You see, what I'm saying is that was inspired counsel. That was prophecy that came forth to answer the heart issue. And God wants to use you with that. Are you available for that? Right? Because again, he said, pursue love, and love is the basis of all of it, right? Love is the basis of all of it, but especially that you may prophesy. Verse 2, it says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Again, the prophecy that we're talking about is not that we come in and say, listen, God's telling you to move to, you know, Idaho, and you to move to Zimbabwe, and you to move there. It's not directional. But it's something that can edify a person. Right? And just because you prophesy doesn't make you a prophet. Just because you have an inspired speech one day doesn't mean that, oh my, God's put me in the prophet's ministry. There have been many shipwrecks there, but right? But all of us, every one of us, it doesn't matter what our ministry is, we can be used by God to divinely speak for Him. Glory to God. And how many think this way, or have have heard it or had it preached this way. It's kind of like ministry is up here somewhere, and then we have our regular lives. Right? But the reality is ministry is your life. Because all ministry means is to serve. Did you know that back when, before the fall, Adam's was talking to God, and God said to him, "Man, you're awesome. I'm going to bless you." But he said, "Be blessed, but multiply." What's he said? "You're blessed, but go to work." So the first ministry that was ever mentioned was work. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The first ministry, and we're supposed to be people who are multiplying. What? Whatever you're doing. But you can multiply what you're doing and still be effective for God if you're looking for opportunities to just be used by Him. And again, it's not like we're going around and, "Boy, I need to get some notches on my belt, and so that we can come next week and brag on how many got saved or how many I touched or how many." That's awesome, and we love to hear the testimonies, but the reality is it has nothing to do with that. It has to be being used by God to touch somebody else. I am amazed at just how much God has used me throughout the years in this particular way. And I'm not saying I've had these big visions or dreams. In fact, I, to my knowledge, I've never had any spectacular events like that that have led me to do certain things. But on the other hand, I know that I know that I know in the mundane, everyday events, not only at church, but everywhere I go, God has used me with inspired speech because I'm looking for Him to do so. I'm trusting for Him to do so. And again, it's not that I hear these outside voices, right? I mean, people walk around and say, "Well, God told me this, and God told me that, and God told me that." Oftentimes, they're confused at the end of the day. But reality is, right? Because one day, though, God's got them over here, and another day, it's amazing. But here's how God speaks to me. He puts a thought into my head. It's that simple. He puts a thought into my head. And I thought, where did that come from? Well, watch this. I'll give you a little divining line for that. Jesus said in John chapter 10, and verse 10, He said, "The thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly." So I divide my thoughts like that. If it's about killing, stealing, or destroying, it's not from God. Right? With what we're talking about here. But if it is, you know, my spirit speaking to me and it's speaking something that's encouraging, something that's bringing comfort, and something that's an exhortation to somebody else, then I can be assured that it's God speaking through me. Hallelujah. And again, I'm not talking about something supernatural that just blows everybody away, like I come in floating on a cloud and you see the glory all around me. That's not the way it works. Most of the time, it's just a simple act that's happening. But the first step is to understand that that's God's desire for you. It's to understand that God wants to use me for that. Go to Acts chapter 2. Let's look at another place, and we'll see this in operation. Acts chapter 2, and this is the chapter that talks about, you know, when Jesus had told them all to wait in Jerusalem, and the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and this is the fulfillment of that, and so this is the operation. It was the day of Pentecost. In verse 1, he talks about how that it had fully come. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and the anointing was upon them, and they began to speak with other tongues. But let's go to verse 17. And it was really funny because God was moving, and it was wild. I like when God moves when it's wild. It's fun. Right? I've been to some wild meetings as God moving, and that's all great. Right? But the people around say, man, these people are weird. Right? These people are weird. I don't think it's always good to be weird. But if God's in it, you're weird, it's okay. Right? Right? But watch this. Some people are just weird to be weird. That's not good. But so they were accusing him of all being drunk. But look at verse 17. Peter's talking. He said, that's not it. This is what Joel was talking about. And Joel said, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit on some flesh. The preachers and the bishops and the deacons shall prophesy. Come on. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Is that you or me? Absolutely it is. Absolutely, I'm a candidate for this outpouring. Again, we're looking for the outpouring. We're looking for the blessing. We're looking for God to come down and just, you know, shake America. And He does, right? But I think if we begin to have an expectation that God can use me just where I am, whether I feel it or not, and tomorrow morning when I wake up, I say, God, I'm a man or a woman on assignment. So every person that I'm talking to, I'm available for you to use me to prophesy to them. Right? Because I'm all flesh. Right? Here it is. I'm in here. And it says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. It's funny because there are people who say, well, you know, women should just keep silent in church. Well, if that's not exactly what was happening, I'm not going to go into that. But if they're not to prophesy in church, where do they prophesy? Right? Come on. And when they're prophesying, they're not speaking for themselves anyway. They're speaking as if God's speaking. And when that's happening, watch this, the heart of the people that they're speaking to is going to be touched. Sometimes it's just going to be blessed. But other times there may be some conviction or God bringing a little bit of correction, but not because you're the one correcting. You're just being used by God. It's like the man that went and yelled at his wife. It wasn't that I was correcting him. I wasn't even pointing anything toward him. But the Spirit of God put conviction in his heart because there was an issue that God wanted to deal with. Right? Glory to God. I believe God wants us to begin to understand that we're supposed to be a significant part of His body and not just an afterthought. And not just, you know, well, if there's something that needs to be done as far as ministry goes, we'll call the pastor and he'll do it. Right? And I don't mind doing it because God's blessed me and being able to do it. But He's not blessed me because I'm pastor. He's blessed me because I'm a believer. And so are you. Until you come to an understanding that God wants to use me in this gift or any gift, you'll never step out in it. You'll never have an expectation for it. But if I can convince you this morning that God wants to use you and divinely speak through you, then maybe you can start to step out. And maybe when you're on the phone, you can say, well, God, here I am. When your son or your daughter or your neighbor or whoever calls you and says, you know, I don't know what to do. It's like one brother said, he said, I don't know what to do, but I know the one who does know what to do. And I'll talk to the one who knows what to do, and he'll speak through me, and he can, at least I'm available for him to speak through me to touch you. Amen. I believe we have the potential for supernatural events all the time. Verse 18 says, and on my men servants and my maid servant, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will pour out of my spirit and they shall prophesy. How many have ever had the Spirit fall on you? Now back, there was a time where he was doing this spectacularly in several ways. We had a fellow who played drums with us, and we'd look back and he'd be passed out by the drums. He'd just be drunk, and we lost the drummer in the spirit because God was just soaking on him. And that's awesome, and those times are great. But you see, I am not waiting for that experience. I'm trusting on what God has already said. And I'm available, God, for you to use me to prophesy. I don't preach a lot to my family, necessarily. I mean, I don't hand out tracts or, you know, necessarily preach the gospel to them. But all of them have been influenced by me because of the anointing that's in me. And they'll call me. Just last Sunday night, my niece called me and said, "Uncle Bruce, would you come?" Of course, I said, "I'm getting my shoes on right now." And in a hospital room with her uncle dying, God used me to prophesy. I'm not saying I said, "Thus saith the Lord," or anything like that. But God gave me words to speak into her heart that brought comfort to her. Do you understand what I'm saying? God wants to use us supernaturally to prophesy. Where? Everywhere. When? All the time. Every day. But are we looking for it? Are we available to it? You know, it's like I have to have an expectation, but I also have to be available, right? How many of you have people that are around you? Hopefully all of us, right? I mean, you know, unless we're living in a cave by ourselves, sometimes that would be okay. But on the other hand, most of the time, we have people that we're around. And it's like, "Lord, this is where my ministry is." I know people that say, "Yes, God has called me, and as soon as you know I get that big ministry, I'll be used by God." And God is saying, "You'll never have a big ministry unless you figure out the importance of the people that I have in front of you right now. The people that..." I'll just be honest and gut level honest with you. The last month and a half or 2 months has been hard on me. And part of the reason that it's been hard on me is that things are crazy. Right? There are a lot of people who are sitting at home and watching online, and that's awesome. It's great. But it's kind of like, "Lord, what's happening? Where are we supposed to be going as a church? What are we supposed to be doing as a church?" And you get wrapped up on who's here and who's not here. But the reality is God years ago told me, "Listen, if you're concerned about who's not here, you can't adequately minister to those who are here." So in other words, we don't worry about who's not available for ministry. We want to be able to prophesy to those who are in front of us. And again, prophecy is just, "God, use me to speak to their heart. Use me to touch their heart." Glory to God. How many have hopeless, seemingly hopeless situations that you're around? People that are just the hard cases, right? Right? Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up and just say, "Lord, I'm available for you to use, to touch their heart, to speak to their heart." And again, don't assume that you know what somebody else needs. Right? Don't have a preconceived idea, but just trust that God. So the first thing, you've got to understand that that's available to you. The second thing is, you got to be available for it. And the third thing is, you have to act on it. How do you do that? "Lord, I'm available. And Lord, I just believe that you're going to give me the words to speak when I go speak to my brother, speak to my sister, speak to my niece, speak to my coworker, speak to my boss. I believe, God, that you're going to be able to use me. And Father, on your sons and your daughters, you're going to pour out your spirit. And when you pour out your spirit, we're going to have the ability to prophesy." Come on. Glory to God. And not just one or two of the chosen, you know, few that are really anointed. I believe that there are special people who have special gifting that way. But the reality is He wants all of His body to be operating in this. Is this helping anybody? Again, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I hope that you read the Bible like it's God speaking to you personally. Because He is. I said He is. I can't tell you how many times when I've been seeking God for an answer, for direction, God has said, turn to Isaiah 33. And I go, okay. Now, when I say God tells me, what I'm saying is Isaiah 33 comes to my mind. A thought comes to my heart. And I say, okay. Well, what if it's not God? Well, so, what if it is? Right? So I go to Isaiah 33. I read it through one time. I say, I didn't get it. Read it again. Okay, read it again. Read it again. And then all of a sudden, something will speak to me out of that that has a direct application on the situation that I'm facing. Right? Now watch this. Verse 24 again. But if all prophesy, everybody say all. Everybody say all. I'm part of all. All is me. Say that with me. All is me. God wants me to prophesy. God wants to use me. God wants to put His words in my mouth. God wants to use me and my words to touch somebody else's heart. Come on. And what's the ultimate purpose of that? Is to show people a way to God. For unbelievers to get introduced to Jesus as being the Messiah. But even for believers, it's so that we can have God use us to touch and help one another. Let's look at some examples. Go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. So how do I put this into practice? Talk to God about it. Say, God, I've been looking for feelings. I've been looking for supernatural things. I've been looking to shake. I've been looking, whatever it is that you've been looking for, and say, God, I've missed the simplicity of just being available. So tomorrow when you're at work and the coworker comes to you and say, God, I'm available. You can speak to me to speak to them. I'm available. That's what I'm talking about. In Acts chapter 1, or 7, verse 51. 7:51. Now watch this. This is Stephen addressing the council. Now Stephen was a servant in the house. He was waiting tables, but God was using him, and this was address toward people. Right? God was prophesying through him in his defense of his position. So he's before the court, he's before the big people, and watch this. 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. That seems harsh, doesn't it? But the reality is God wanted to arrest their hearts so that they could recognize who He was. And He was using Stephen to do that. Stephen wasn't being mean. He was being loving and saying, look, if you'll fix your stiff neck, God can use you. So Stephen was prophesying even in the midst of this. Even when he was talking to people, God was using him to prophesy. Glory to God. Watch this. And if you go on, it says, verse 55, It says, but being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran at him at once with one accord. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes as the feet of the young man named Saul. Saul was listening to Stephen prophesy. Saul, who later became Paul, wrote over half of the New Testament, was affected by the prophecy of God through Stephen. It didn't look like it at the time, but it was working. Sometimes we're being used by God and it doesn't seem like it's having any effect. But don't let that sway you. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Glory to God. Let's look at a couple more. Go to chapter 8. The next page, chapter 8. And this is Philip now. Philip was another one. But look at verse 35. And let me just give the backstory a little bit. This eunuch who's been in Jerusalem, he was seeking after God, didn't find God. He's in his chariot and he's reading a portion of the scripture and just going, what? Now watch this. And Philip comes along and the Holy Spirit says, go join yourself with that chariot. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth. You will never prophesy unless you open your mouth. Let me just make that clear. You will never prophesy unless you open your mouth. So open your mouth. Do it with the right heart. Do it with the expectation that God is going to use me to speak something that will bless somebody else. So the eunuch answered, verse 35. Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Jesus is in all the scripture. God will use you and it will eventually come around toward Jesus. It's always pointing toward Jesus. Your prophecy and your speaking into somebody's heart, it doesn't always pinpoint you need to get saved, but it might pinpoint that God loves you and He wants to draw you to Himself. Hallelujah. Let's go to chapter 21. God wants you to prophesy. God wants to use you to speak to others, but not just out of your own intellect and your own heart or your own training. It's by inspiration of His Spirit. Acts 21, and look at verse 8. And on the next day, we who were Paul's companion departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. Isn't that interesting? So, all are available to prophesy. I said all. Anybody who's available and anybody who has an expectation, anybody who will be available, anybody who will open their mouth, I believe God can use to prophesy. And again, the simple definition of prophecy, and I've got to put it in there, inspired speech. God using me to speak to somebody else. I'm all for that, amen? Use me, God. Verse 10. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And we come to us, he took Paul's belt around his own hands and feet and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Sometimes a prophet can come and prophesy something pretty dramatic to you. But watch this. Paul wasn't swayed by the prophet's vision of what was going to happen. He was already sustained by the word that God gave to him. But the point is this, that God could use the four virgins as well as the prophet. God could use Philip, but he could also use the four daughters. I believe that there's many more people who are used in prophecy than have titles behind their names. The only prerequisite is a believer. The only prerequisite is that you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. The only prerequisite is that you believe that you're available and that you'll act on it. Amen? God wants you all to prophesy. God wants to use you to give you words that will speak to other people's hearts so that those hearts can be led toward God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning, and I'm available. You've used me in this way countless times, and I'm grateful. But like Paul said, I'm going to forget the things that are behind me, and I'm going to stretch forth toward tomorrow. God, use me today, this afternoon. Use me tomorrow. Continue, Lord, to supernaturally give me what you want me to say. And I thank you, Lord, that that's available for everybody that's listening to me or will be listening to me. It's available. But the prerequisite to that is that you must be born again. What do I mean? You must be born again. You must be begotten of the Father which is in heaven. And the only way that you can do that is to have Jesus be your Lord and Savior. What you've done in the past does not matter. What matters is that you turn, that's what repentance is, you turn your life and control of your life over to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning. And watch this, it's really amazing. But it's not my words that are touching your heart right now. It's the Spirit of God who's drawing you. He's putting that need on the inside of you, that knowing that you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that's you this morning, if you're listening online, if you're here in the room, and that's you, would you just raise your hand to the Lord right now? Just raise your hand to the Lord. I'm going to pray for you, and He's going to bless you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you raise your hand, if you're watching online or you're in the room, we're all going to say it together. Just repeat this after me. Say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I recognize that I need you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I'm going to turn myself away from my past, and I'm going to press into you. Jesus, I accept you as Lord of my life, and I'm laying my life down before you. Where you say to go, I'll go. What you say to do, I'll do. I'm yours to use. I'm yours to command. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that, your whole life has just changed. He's entered you, and now you're a candidate to be used by Him to prophesy. God bless you. Father, I just pray over everybody that's listening, everybody that's dealing with COVID, whether they've been exposed to COVID, whether they're dealing with COVID right now, I just speak your healing power over them, your protection over them in Jesus' name. Lord, I just ask you again to heal our nation, to heal our land. I speak against the disunity that's raging over our land, and I speak peace and unity over it In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. And thank you for listening. In Jesus' name, amen.